point. That's your start line. It's not going to help them if they get ready to run the race and they're in the wrong place. So that's one of the things that I do. I also want to make sure nobody gets a head start. And if they do, obviously that's not a good thing. The rule book says one false start and you're disqualified. You go sit in the stands. And all that work that you've been doing is for naught. The third thing is I'm supposed to try and keep the meet on time. So I'm going to do my best to be done by noon because that's on my schedule events here to be done by noon. But in the context of missions now, I'm going to be doing a little bit different role today. Now, when you're a starter in a collegiate track meet, you are God, the small g. Whatever I decide, there's no appeal, no chances. You're gone. If I say you're out, you're out. There's no video replay. There's no appeal. There's no nothing. Now, obviously, in my role today in talking to you about missions, I don't have the power to disqualify you in your witness or testimony. But let me say this. One true God, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the one who has given us three commands we're going to talk about today, he does have the power to remove rewards from you if you're not obedient. So listen carefully. You get three commands as a start. First thing you do is you say, on your marks. Hopefully we've explained to them where their marks are. They know where it's not, but you'd be surprised how nervous sometimes they get. So on your marks. And Psalm 67, 1 and 2 is on your mark. Now, what we're going to say, hopefully, is the Trinity plan. You may have seen some people around the church wearing these little lapel pins. Usually they've been staff folks or leadership, people on the leadership team. I've had different people think this is some sort of cult that we have going here or whatever, the three E's and all that sort of stuff. But it has meaning. I'm going to try and run through these things today and explain them to you. Here's why. Every starter carries three cards. These three cards. God is top one. If something happens to disturb the start, and it's not the fault of one of the runners, perhaps someone in the stand shouts, perhaps there's an equipment malfunction or something like that, and it disturbs the start, and we stop it, we'll hold up a green card. What that means is nobody in the field has been disqualified. It's okay. We'll restart. We'll get this thing going. Then there's the yellow card. The yellow card is a warning. It says to an athlete, you are not doing the commands of the starter. Perhaps you didn't go to your marks in a reasonable amount of time. Perhaps you came to set too slow. Perhaps you did something to disturb the start without causing a false start or without you false start. So there's a warning. Yellow card. Then there's the red card. That's when you have not followed the starter's commands. You've left too soon or you've done something wrong. That's it. Now, I would say in this worship center today, there's probably three groups of people. I think there's a group I call the grading group. You folks get it. You get missions. You get that it's important. You get the fact that missions is not what we do, it's who we are. It's a part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's finding your role there. And you found your role. So if you go short-term mission trips, you pray, you give, you go, you do all those things. And missions, you get it. Then there's a group of people we'll call a young group. This is probably the largest, I'd say, group of people in Lakeview. And they consist of some folks that, down through the years, for whatever reason, misinformation, misperception. You know that you have not been called to full-time vocational cross-cultural work. And you sort of feel guilty about it. You kind of feel like a second-class citizen. Because here these missionaries, Josh and Susan Chance, my Pat Ransom, they've been called for a lifetime. And I haven't, so somehow that makes me a second-class citizen in the body of Christ. caring about it. That's all we ever do. Lakeview doesn't do anything here. They don't do anything in North America. They don't do anything. You know, we're so busy worried about all the folks across the seas. We don't take care of the folks here in our area that are lost. I'm tired of hearing about it. I don't hear about missions anymore. Hopefully, I'm going to give you a little information that will help you this morning. But this is the group right here. This is the largest bunch of you. Here's what I want you to know. Your talents, your passions, your interests, there's a place for you in world missions. That may not be over there. It may not even be on a short-term mission trip. But you have a role that you can play that's going to help advance the kingdom of God. And it's not going to be a stretch for you in the sense that you've got to do something outside your giftedness, do something outside of your passions. There's a place for you. So, let's look now at the context of what God's asked us to do here at Lakeview. And it's in the Trinity Plan. So we're going to run through this quickly and try and give you some information. You see there that there are three E's in the middle. The one in the yellow circle stands for exercise. All right? We're going to exercise the body of Christ. The bottom one says expand. That's the blue. So it looks purple there, but it's sort of the blue circle. And then the last one in the dark circle is the E that stands for expand. God has called Lakeview Baptist Church to exercise the body by giving you an awareness of missions, what your role can be, to equip you and help you do what he's called you to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. And then expand is the way that we're going to help people who have already been called from our fellowship. Brown Fields, the Genesis, and many others. How can we help them expand their work? We have a role to play there. And then the last one, in the dark circle, is we're going to extend the God. God has called us to extend the gospel to the darkest places on earth. That's the context of what we're supposed to do. Now, we're going to look at this for just a minute. You see, it's sort of a triangle. We didn't name it the Trinity Plan just for fun. It just seemed like everything that came in threes, okay? But you see the three points of the triangle there. Those are the three anchors of what we do in missions. The three loves, if you will, of Christianity. The first one is to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. If we're doing that, there's no boundary, there's no thing that we're going to hold back from Him, is there? No gift, no talent, no treasure. It's all going to be His. The second love is we love disciple making. And part of our mission statement here at Lakeview is to make, nurture, and equip disciples here in Auburn and where? Throughout the world. So that's the second love that anchors the Trinity Plan. The third one is love others. Love neighbors, love one another, love enemies. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Neighbors literally means near ones. That means, you know, most of us think about neighbors, we think about our next door neighbor. First needs those that are near to us in family, in friendships. We're supposed to love them, even though some of them are not believers. The second part of that is we're supposed to love one another. If we are not unified, if we're not loving one another, then the work of the gospel through us is going to be hampered because of division and disunity. So, we're called to love the dear ones, we're called to love one another, and we're called to love our enemies. It's easy to think of ISIS as being our enemy. You know, they are persecuting the church in terrible and awful ways. We're supposed to love them. But let me tell you this. If you got a lost brother or son, friend, co-worker, if you read the scriptures correctly, Jesus said what? You're either for me or against me, with me or against me. So even though you may have a close relative that you love, you care for, they are an enemy of the cross if they've not given their life to Jesus Christ. I had a 45th high school reunion yesterday. My old college roommate was there. I love this guy. Brilliant guy. He's an enemy of the cross. But I love him anyway. And I shared the gospel with him yesterday as well. So, those are the three loves that anchor that plan. Now, here's what constrains what we do in missions at Lakeview. You see on the outside budget strategies in the Lakeview mission statement. We can't do anything here at Lakeview or shouldn't do anything here at Lakeview that's not a part of express that love through making, nurturing, and equipping disciples here at home and throughout the world. So that's sort of the foundation of the Trinity plan, is it not? But listen, we can't do anything through this mission effort that exceeds our budgets, believe it or not. That constrains us. We can't travel, we can't support, we can't do anything if our budget and our giving is not good. And then there are strategies. Those are the things that keep us on track, doing what God wants us to do. So we have the three loves, the three strategies that make up the outside of the triangle there, if you will. Now, at first, Stephen said we talked about exercise. How do we exercise the body? Well, if you are working out or you go to the gym or you run, you exercise your body. What? To strengthen it so that it can do more. Well, we exercise the body here at Lakeview through bringing awareness to you about world missions. We do it through the missions conference. We do it through VISTAs. We do it through all sorts of different ways, mission testimonies, you know, at Vacation Bible School, whatever. We're trying to constantly keep before you the work of the cross, because you have a role to play. And we want to help people discover what they can do for the cause of Christ. We want to help you to develop your spiritual gifts so that you can do that. And then we're going to deploy you. We're going to put you in a place where you can do that work. That may mean full-time vocational overseas, live there. It may mean in the context of a local church. It may mean something else. But we, if we don't exercise the body constantly in this area, we will atrophy and die and not be effective and not do what we've been called to do. All right, the next thing is expand the movement. Here we partner, pray, promote, and provide. Now that's a sickness. I can't help it. You know, it starts with four P's, but that's just the way it goes, right? We're going to partner with the people that God's called from among us. Just a few years ago, we had an opportunity to go with Bob and Pam down in Mozambique, and they were building their bush house, which is really their home base. It's where the ministry takes place. It also spreads out from there through that area where they were trying to push back Islam, folk Islam, Roman Catholicism, and just animism and different things. Four of us went down there, and you know, I think maybe once we shared a story or whatever, but most of the time what we did was we ran an electrical line, and we dug ditches, and we figured out plumbing. That's what we did. We said, well, how does that advance the kingdom? I tell you how it advances the kingdom. It allows Bob and Pam to live there and not suffer quite as much, have a few more things at their disposal so that they can do more effective ministry. So what we did is we partnered with our people who've already been called out to help them expand their work. You guys pray for Bob and Pam. I hope I pray for them every day. And then we promote their work when they come back, and they share testimonies, and they tell you about what's happened. They promote their work so that you'll pray and perhaps even provide. We provided all sorts of free labor and all sorts of good things for them to help that thing in. There was just one moment. And believe me, I am not trained in construction, electrical stuff, whatever. My dad was a plumbing contractor, and he told me, don't ever do this because you won't like it. He was right. But there was this moment when we were trying to run. We did some sort of farmhouse plumbing. We were trying to drill a hole in the wall or something. We happened to look up, and through the window we saw Pam standing there in her bedroom. And Melvin Bolt, God bless him, had just finished wiring the lights in their bedroom. And here's what Pam was doing. Turn on the light. Turn off the light. Turn on the light. Turn off the light. She just said, just turn off. And she looked at me and she said, I love y'all. I love Lakeview. I love Jesus. We have electricity. So see, there are ways that you can partner and provide for other people that have already gone out. We have a responsibility to them. Unlike many churches, we don't even know of any missionaries. We've never had any called out from what we've got at present. This is a low-ball estimate. We have 89 people on the field that we call from our fellowship. 89. As far as I know, that is the highest it's ever been. And that is taking into consideration that we had several happy missionaries retire and come home in the drawdown last year. And we've got more in the pipeline. To me, that's thrilling. Absolutely thrilling. Now, we're going to brief summary in essence is that those first two things, exercise and spend, we've been doing that for 25 years. Al Jackson, John West led us and built that foundation. And in California, after I heard some different pastors and churches and different people, it struck me, this is 2013, that there were approximately 3,000 unreached, unengaged people groups in the world then. And the Holy Spirit said to me, how late do you need to take three? Three unengaged, unreached people. In other words, we're going to take responsibility for this. We're not going to tell me. We're not going to Frontiers, Pioneers, Crusade, nobody else. We're going to take three EDPGs, and God is going to somehow raise up from among us people to go there, and we're going to do what we got to do. And you see there, the first thing we started doing, I started doing, our leadership started is praying, who are these people going to be? And I will be frank with you, show you how much faith I've got. I thought, maybe before I retire, we will have identified three EDPGs that we can engage. You know, this is going to be a long process. I'm not sure we can do that. UPG is an unengaged, unreached people group. I said, you know, Lord, you know, you're going to lead us. Within 3 months, we were engaged with two UPGs already. Just like that. Was it Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him also, and he will do it. He's just waiting for people that are ready. He'll do it. It's not that complicated. It's not rocket science. That's why I'm the missions pastor. I'm not that smart. So here's what has happened. We've prayed. He's given us those things. We have people there who are already on the ground. They're pioneering the work because these are very difficult places to work, very difficult places to do ministry. And in point of fact, in this last frontier, if you want to call it that, in 1040, we know what they refer to. It's primarily North Africa, the Middle East, and through Central and East Asia. These are the places where people are being beheaded for their faith. These are the places where people are losing their life because of their allegiance to Christ. I don't know in the 25 or 30 years that we've done missions lately, anybody ever been injured, if people got sick, lay, whatever, who never lost anybody. I don't take that for granted. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if we persevere in what God has called us to do, it may happen to us. One of us might be martyred. One of our people may lose their lives for the cause of Christ. I'll tell you this, as long as I'm your missions pastor, we will not back up, let up, or shut up. Until we get taken up for the task of taking the gospel to the nations is completed. Will you be a part of that? We've got college students that have come to see me that want to go places that I literally shudder when they tell me where they want to go and what they want to do. But I would never, no, never, no, never say, you won't think twice about that because I think they've heard from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to tell them no. Put some things in place for hostage negotiation, all those sorts of things, trying to make plans in case those things happen, but God's sovereign. But are we willing to pay the price? That's the question. Are we willing to pay the price? So we're going to pray, we're going to partner, we're going to pioneer, and then what we hope is that the churches we planted in these places, and they will expand into other churches that plant other churches. And the gospel will soak and saturate, and the light of Christ will come even to the darkest places. This is the Trinity plan. This is God's plan for Lakeview Baptist Church until he comes back, or you fire me, or I quit, or retire, die, whatever. All right? Now, you sit there and listen. You say, all right, that's good. Sounds good, Al. I think I understand that. What is my role? Well, you've heard us say this the past few years, where is your role? You've heard that over and over and over again. And really what happened was, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. You remember the passion he had for Rome? You know, it took him a long time to get there. It was very convoluted. He had to go back to Jerusalem, all these different things. these festivals, if you, each one of you, needs to find your Rome. Now, it may not be a place. It may not be a people. It might be a person. It might be a work. I don't know. But will you pray and ask God to help you find your Rome? Or help you find, if you will, using this magic, your race, the one you're supposed to be in. You know, you saw that track meet there. There's only a few runners in that 1,500-meter run. But there are a ton of other people that make that track meet work. There are starters and clerks and judges and officials and timers and all that kind of stuff. Listen, there may just be a few that have called out of us to actually run the race on the field in some of these difficult places or other places. But you know what? For them to get there, they need us. And there are people like you in the last 3 or 4 years who have discovered their own. And man, am I fired up about that. I'm telling you, I'm proud of stuff to make these people come out. For example, Robert Max, my good friend, 2-3 months ago, he came and says, Al, I need a list of every one of Lakeview's missionaries. I'm going to start praying for them every day. That's finding your own. We had a missionary who was working part-time, home part-time, looking for funding. Ralph Henderson came to me and says, I know what my assignment is. I'm going to find this guy some support so he doesn't have to come back home and work. That's finding your own. It's Rick Richards. Rick Richards gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning, some other ungodly hour, and drives a mission team to Atlanta back. He's found his own. Maybe you need to start praying for somebody or a people group. Or a missionary. Maybe you need to start giving because you haven't given. I don't know. But you have a role to play. Now, I say that because of 1 Peter 2:9. Remember, I asked you to look this one up. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, I don't read anywhere where it says, but you who are called cross-culturally to live among a unreached, aged people group are a chosen race. This is a corporate address. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people who have been called to God. And you belong to Him. You're His possession. And why do you belong to Him? What does the rest of the verse say? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't see any exclusions there. Nobody's left out. Everybody has a purpose as a priest. Now, let's just use that term royal priesthood. Now, in the Old Testament, priests lived not for themselves, but for those that they served. Even though they had the fancy get-up, you know, and all that sort of stuff, they lived for those that they served. And you know who they served? The priests in the Old Testament served who? They served God, and they served who? The people. They were, in essence, mediators. And we know that Jesus is our mediator. But listen, if you belong to Jesus, you are an expression of His mediating ministry here on earth. So, if you're a royal priesthood, and you all are, if you are indeed a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're here to serve our one true God and those that are lost by proclaiming the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Priests are mediators that stand between God and men. The plan for the church is therefore to mediate between God and men. A church without a mission, passion. A church without a mission, budget, is not the church Christ envisioned. And praise God, that is not true of Lakeview. We are a church with a mission, passion, and with a mission, budget. But here's the thing for me. I want all of you to be able to experience and enjoy some of the things you've done. You've done. Your royal priesthood, you've done this in the last 16 months. You've given $501,118 to Lottie Moon. Through the end of the year, you've given almost $140,000 to the cooperative program. Through your gifts, we directly supported last year, I don't know how many, maybe 35 or 40 independent missionaries that were not IMB missionaries to the tune of $53,000. I'm not sure how much we've given this year in Annie Armstrong or how much we gave last year, but my estimate is that in the last 16 months, you have given close to $750,000 to mission causes, both in North America and throughout the world. It makes me want to weep. That's laudable. And many of you have given sacrificially. But have you all given? Now, one other note for those of you who say, I don't want to hear about missions anymore. All we talk about is international missions. All we do is stuff overseas. The breakdown on that giving through cooperative program is about 55-45. Many of the ministries and missions that we support are North American missions. And they're not part of Southern Baptist work. They're out there working on their own. So we give about 55% internationally, 45% at home. That's how the breakdown is. Now here is another thing we've done in the last 16 months. 172 Lakeview members have traveled on 42 different excursions to 32 countries on 6 continents internationally and 7 cities across the United States, either on teams or as individuals in the United Kingdom. Hallelujah. Right now, in Romania, Brother Alan Cameron there. Everybody's going, that makes sense. Brother Al's a pastor. He's got a PhD or PhD, some kind of doctor. I don't know what it is. And he should be teaching at a seminary. That makes sense. But you know who's there with him? Robert Williams. Robert Williams is a banker. What's he doing in Romania teaching at a seminary? He's teaching finance. He's teaching banking. So these guys that go out and, that have pastors are going to be able to manage their money and their assets in wise ways and be able to also consult with and teach their people how to do that. So let life so that they can finance their work in Eastern and Central and Southern Europe. See how that works? Robert Williams and Mike have been seminary. But he's made himself available. He said, I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'm one of these folks. I get it. You can use me. You can use my gifts. You can use my talents. Now, as of today, I mentioned earlier about the unreached, unengaged people groups, the hard places, the difficult places. As far as I can tell, and I must say that the work of world evangelization here lately is very fluid. As far as I can tell, Lakeview people right now, at this moment, are engaging 10 unreached and engaged people groups. Boy, God can do a lot more than this point could ever think of or ever imagine. And they are in the last frontier. They are living among and in some of the most closed and violent nations toward Christianity on earth. And here's the thing. I get the feeling that God is calling us to engage even more of these unreached and engaged people groups in North Africa and the Middle East and Central and East Asia. He's not done with us yet. And I hope he's not done with you. Now, I'm not saying if you don't lead missions or participate in missions, you're going to lose your salvation. That's heresy. Once saved, always saved. If you can't do anything to earn your salvation, you can't do anything to lose your salvation. There's some folks listening. Okay. I'm not saying that, but you know what you can lose? Rewards. And you know what the nice thing about the rewards are going to be in glory? It's not that we get to receive them and he'll stand up on the podium like the Olympic champions. It's that those rewards we get to cast back at his feet in worship. something to lay at Jesus' feet. Amen? You want something to lay at Jesus' feet? Well, here's what you need to do. Matthew 28 is might be the most spoken verse at Lakeview. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It said, on your mark, set. What does Jesus say? Go. Just like in the schoolyard. We didn't have guns back then. You know, on your mark, set, go. You took off. And I know what some of you are thinking. Hopefully, you know, is he going to fire that gun or not? No. We have a policeman out there. I don't want any, you know, and it would be extremely loud and smelly if I did. So I'm not going to do that. But here's what Jesus says. You're on your mark. You're one of mine. You're a royal priesthood. You've done some good stuff already. Don't rely on that. You're at the set position that he says, go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I've read that verse a thousand times. I just don't read anywhere in there where it says, go therefore if you're called full-time to cross-cultural missions. I don't read any delineation or stratification or qualifying or whatever. He just says, go. He's talking to his people. And he says, and he is, if you will, the ultimate starter, is he not? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and that's a starter track. I mean, I got authority to throw people in a race and stuff like that. But he has the authority to reward us or withhold rewards based on our obedience to him. And he says, go therefore. Not some of you. All of you. You can go there in prayer. You can go there through your giving. You can go there through your support. There's a thousand different ways. There's as varied and as wonderful and as deep are the giftings of the people in this room. That's how deep and varied and wonderful can be our contribution to the advancement of the kingdom. You can be a businessman, you can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, you can be a construction worker, you can be a hunter. Look, he's taken his old broken down coach who has been officiating for 40 years, and you know how to get restricted access countries. By this, by my coaching expertise, by my officiating expertise, gets me to the darkest places. Everything in your life, he's redeemed for the work of the gospel. Everything. Even the bad stuff, he's redeemed it for the work of the gospel. So you have a role to play. Missions is not who we, what we do, it is who we are. So Jesus says, go. And so the starter starts the race. And off you go. And for some of you, short-term mission trip might be it. Well, you're like a 100-yard dash person. You know, you just got a box, go. It's over with pretty quick, and you're back home. But for some of you, maybe God's doing it. You go for a semester or a year or something like that. Like a middle distance runner. A couple laps, and you're through. For some of you, you may be called out to go the distance until your last breath. Until you just think that you're able to do anything anymore. You have to come home. Every one of us has a role to play. And some of you may not be able to run 100 meters anymore. And I can't. I used to come, but not anymore. But you know what? I can be a part of that meat that helps get people in the race. And that's primarily what I do nowadays. I'm a starter. I say, get on your mark. Set. Bang. Go. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these brothers and sisters, their kind attendances, and not only their attendance, but Lord, their attention this morning. Father, I've just simply tried to communicate what your heart is. I've tried to communicate the redemptive role that our church has to play in this great commission. And tried to communicate, Lord God, that each one of us has a role to play. And Lord, we do it not for the sake of the rewards that we might benefit from, but Lord, from the recently for your kingdom coming and will be done, and others have gone short-term trips. Some of our full-time missionaries that even sit among us today. But yet, Lord, no matter who we are, where we are, education, finances, it doesn't matter, Lord. There are no restrictions. There are no constraints on what you can use that we have that you've given us for the sake and the name of the gospel. And it being delivered to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, will we lay aside any encumbrance that hinders us in that race? Will we lay aside any false belief or lie that the enemy's given us that somehow we're not good enough or we don't have a gift to give back to you? And then, Lord, let us run free. Let us run free because this is what you've made us for. This is what you've saved us for. Proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Lord, may this church